Go with me, if you would, now to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 8. In the book of Ezra, the physical rebuilding of the ruined temple represents, it illustrates, that's what this book is mainly about, the rebuilding of the temple. And it illustrates the spiritual rebuilding of God's people, who He calls His spiritual temple. God's particular people became ruined. Ruined. Not they didn't veer off the path. They became ruined. Flattened. Empty. Desolate. Completely ruined. In and by sin. They became bound to captivity in that sin. But God declared deliverance, and He provided deliverance through Christ the King. He brought His people out. He accomplished all the work for them from the foundation all the way to the headstone. He finished every bit of it. And then He called His preachers to go out and notify His people of what He did. The last time we were here, we looked at chapter 7, and it was on Him calling Ezra to go tell the people, "This is what I've done." If you look at chapter 7, verse 25, He said, "And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thy hand." And that's what we hold right here. We hold the wisdom of God in our hand. He said, "After the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not." Teach them. Go out and teach them. In the middle of verse 28, Ezra said, "I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me." He said, "Men, let's go preach this. Let's go declare what God has told us to declare. Let's notify God's people." That's what the gospel is. It is a notification. It's a notification of everything God has to say to them and everything God's done for them. Now, chapter 8 describes to us the life of a child of God after the notification. There comes a point in every elect sinner's life when God quickens them and notifies them of who He is and what He's done. And this is the life of a child of God after that notification. This chapter is about faith. It's about faith in God, not faith in self. Faith in God, in hard decisions, at hard times. Faith in God during these hard times of need. Chapter 8, verse 21 is a verse we're going to come back to in a moment. And we're going to look at some things revolving around this verse. But it says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." This is about faith and seeking God in hard decisions. Seeking God for the right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Now let's read and understand what is being said here in the physical story. And in this, let's see the spiritual application of it. And then we're going to look at something that I believe will be very comforting to every person here. Very comforting to every person who needs it. Ezra called these men to go up with him. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "These are now the children of their fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes, the king, of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom, of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel, of the sons of David, Haddish, of the sons of Shechaniah, of the sons of Pharash, Zechariah, and with him were reckoned by genealogy of the males 150. Of the sons of Pahath-Moab, Elihoene, the son of Zariah, and with him 200 males. Of the sons of Shechaniah, the son of Jehaziel, and with him 300 males. Of the sons also of Aden, Ebed, the son of Jonathan, and with him 50 males. And of the sons of Elam, Jeshiah, and the son of Athaliah, and with him 70 males. And of the sons of Shephatiah, Zebediah, the son of Michael, and with him 80 males. Of the sons of Joab, Obadiah, the son of Jehiel, and with him 218 males. And of the sons of Shelomith, the son of Josephiah, and with him 103 males. And of the sons of Bibei, Zechariah, the son of Bibei, and with him 28 males. And of the sons of Azgad, Johanan, the son of Hakatan, and with him 110 males. And of the last sons of Aconicum, whose names are these, Eliphelet, Jeiel, and Shemaiah, and with them 80 males. Of the sons also of Bigbai, Uthai, and Zabad, and with them 70 males. And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. And I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi." He said, I gathered all of these sons together, 1,500 men, along with the heads of the family that he named. I gathered all these sons with me from all these tribes. And he said, for 3 days, I viewed them. I viewed everyone who was gathered together. I noticed who was there and I noticed who wasn't there. He said, I noticed that not one person was there from the tribe of Levi. After I'd gathered all these sons, that's what the end of verse 15 says. I found there none of the sons of Levi. Now, spiritually speaking, what does that tell us? They did not have a high priest before God. That's what it tells us. They had all these men there thinking they were about to head out on God's business. And they did not have one to offer blood on their behalf. They didn't have one who could make an atonement to God for their sin. That's the state of all men and women who are outside of Christ. All men and women. Ezra realized, before we do anything, before we take another step, this must be settled first. And all of God's people realize this. Ezra saw this, and all of God's people see this. If we don't have a high priest who can appease God for us, appease His wrath and settle our debt and put away our sin, if we don't have that, we don't have anything. We don't have anything. I know a dear man who I love very much who claims to believe some of the truths in the Scripture. And he attends a place, it's in another state. He attends a place that he knows they preach none of it there. Why do you go? Well, you know, they got programs for the kids and they got, it's formal, you know, No, you have nothing. If you don't have Christ, the high priest, and His work alone, and His blood alone, you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing. Ezra and these men, they're about to head out in the name of God, and they realized we don't have a Levite. What mercy it is when God reveals that to a sinner. It takes the power of God. A man cannot do it. His ability cannot do it. It takes the Word of God. It takes God's Spirit at His time to reveal to a sinner, I don't have Christ. I don't have Christ. What mercy it is when God shows a man or a woman, you don't have an atonement for your soul. You have all of these fleshly works, all of these deeds and things that you're trying to accomplish yourself, and you will never be able to accomplish them. You need one who can accomplish it for you. Man thinks that he can run around doing these works and God will be happy with him. God will be pleased with him. Not realizing that everything he does is tainted with sin. I love and respect and agree with what that man said years and years ago. He said, I can't preach, but I sin. I can't pray, but I sin. I can't do anything without sin infecting it. If I'm a part of it, sin is a part of it. Everything we do is mixed with sin. And if we don't have someone who can make intercession for our sin, we're going to die in that sin. No matter what works we do on this earth, we'll die. In Matthew 7, our Lord said, in that day, many are going to come to me saying, Lord, Lord, we preached in your name. We were preachers. We cast out devils in your name. We cast devils out of people. We were healers. We did wonderful works, all kinds of good works in your name. She said, then will I say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It was all sin. It was all sin. And he says, you're going to be cast out because you did not have one who made atonement for your soul. All of these, I did this and I did this. And you didn't have the one thing needful. That one thing needful. Christ. God will only, in love and acceptance, know a man. If he says, I never knew you, he will only know a man in the person and in the work of Christ. Not ours, only His. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. We must have Him. We must have Him. Ezra knew that. All of God's preachers know that. They all say, we're not taking one step into the work of the ministry. We're not taking one step into the message. Now, think about that. We're going to talk in just a moment about faith and trials and seeking God's will. We're not even going to go there until we set forth a high priest. We must have a high priest. We must have intercession for our sin. And all of God's preachers know that. We must have Christ Jesus the Lord. We need a sin offering and a sacrifice. Ezra realized their need. So in verse 16, he said, then sent I for Eliezer and for Ariel and for Shemaiah and for Elnathan and for Jared and for Elnathan and for Nathan and for Zechariah, and for Meshulam, chief men, also for Joiarib, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. Those are all different men. He said, I sent for Elnathan, Nathan and Elnathan. Elnathan means God has given. He said, we need a high priest. And this is who I sent for. This is our only hope. God has given. God has given. Nathan means the giver. God has given. God has given. God has. That's our message. That's our hope. That's the gospel. That's everything. God has given. We have a great need before God. Here's the glory of the gospel. God has supplied it. God has given. We need mercy. God has given. God is the giver. We need an atonement for our sin. We need a covering of blood all over our sin. God has given. God is the giver. We need a sacrifice. We need a substitute to die in our place. Think about this. It is appointed unto man once to die, in the sense that we're going to lay this body down in death. What if you could have a substitute for this physical death? We could enter into it a little bit more than the spiritual death. We cannot see the spirit, the things of the spirit, but we see the flesh. What if you had someone who could lay down in the flesh for you? Well, maybe that'll cause us to enter into the fact that we had someone lay down in death for us, so we won't have to. That spiritual death, someone died in our place, and God is the one who gave him. God was the giver. That's called grace. Grace. God is the giver. Those other names in that verse, there are names all through this, and they all, you could have a message out of each verse, but Eliezer means God is our help. Ariel means God is our lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Shemaiah means Jehovah has heard. Jerib and Joiarib, they both mean he will contend. The battle is his. Zechariah means Jehovah has remembered. He said in Lamentation 3, I remember the wormwood, I remember the gall. Every time one of my sinful people stands before me, I remember what it took to put away their sin. I see the blood, and every time I see that blood, I pass over. Meshulam means friend. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ezra said, I sent for these men. We must have these men and what they represent. Verse 17, and I sent them with commandment unto Edo, the chief, at the place Cassiphia. And I told them what they should say unto Edo and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place Cassiphia, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Mahlai, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. And Hashabiah, and with him Jeshaiah of the sons of Merari, his brethren and their sons, 20, also of the Nethinims, who David and the prince had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims, all of them were expressed by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Now, Ezra and these men, they are about to carry all of this gold and silver from Babylon to Jerusalem. And he said, before we went, I proclaimed a fast, that we might afflict ourselves to seek his will on how he would have us to do this. And this is why Ezra did that. Verse 22, he said, for I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. He said, I had declared such confidence in our God to lead us. I was glorifying our God and preaching our God. And I had declared in such confidence that He would have His hand on us and guide us only into good for every soul that seeks Him. Ezra said, because I declared Him and His glory and His honor and His strength and His majesty and His ability and His sovereignty and His authority over everything concerning His people. I said, everything is in His hands. His people are in His hands. Nothing can happen outside of His control. And he said, because I declared all that, I could not lean on the arm of the flesh. Not for one minute, not in any way, shape, or form. No true gospel preacher can. No true declarer of Christ the King can. Ezra said, we cannot and we will not mix man's works with God's grace, salvation's of the Lord. Deliverance is of the Lord. And he said, if we safely make it from this land of sin to that land of promise, it'll only be by the hand of our God. With that being said, he knew that it was a dangerous journey. It was a fearful journey. A lot of enemies, a lot of thieves, a lot of danger. So in verse 23, he said, we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Every sinner that comes to God through His high priest, Christ the Lord, every sinner who seeks mercy and seeks help and seeks salvation by His way, by His will, every soul that's caused to seek will find. Every soul that God causes to entreat will be entreated of Him. Verse 24, then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed unto them the silver and the gold, and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I even weighed unto their hands 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels, and 100 talents, and of gold, 100 talents. Also 20 basins of gold of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, you are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. Watch ye and keep them until you weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites, the chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So the priests and the Levites, the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels, to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and such as lay in wait by the way. They had a safe journey. No one attacked them. No one touched them. They had a safe journey all the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now on the 4th day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Merimoth, the son of Uriah the priest. And with him was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas. And with them was Jozabad, the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, the son of Binui, Levites, by number and by weight of every one. And all the weight was written at that time. Also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. And they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side the river, and they furthered the people in the house of God. With a great deliverance, with sacrifices of joy, sacrifices of redemption, all of God's treasure made it safely home. All of it. Now, I want us to see something that I believe every person here needs to see. We all collectively need this as a congregation concerning this ministry, everything that's going on with this ministry. Concerning each person individually, we are all going through things individually that we need God's leadership on. All of us. We need His direction. We need His will. This journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, carrying this treasure, it represents the life that this quickened, converted child of God has to live out on this earth. It's tough. It's tough. We are marching to Zion. That's what they did. Okay, they loaded up all this treasure. And he said, I just couldn't ask the king for horses and soldiers. And I told him our God was God. I told him He was with us. And He purposed for all of this treasure to make it safely. And so we had a fast. We proclaimed a fast. And they made it. They made it. This carrying of this treasure, this journey full of trials, this journey full of enemies, represents the life we walk on this earth. And although we have this treasure, Ezra told the people, he said, the treasure is holy. He said, you are holy. God has called all of His people His peculiar treasure. That's what He calls His people. You're a peculiar treasure unto the Lord. The treasure is Christ. The unsearchable riches are the riches of Christ Himself. Christ in His people causes them to carry the treasure. The treasure of glory, hope, salvation. If we belong to Christ, we have this treasure. But here's the thing. We have it in earthen vessels. We have this treasure. But we have it in earthen vessels. Vessels that are weak. Vessels that shatter easily. They break so easily. We have this treasure in vessels that are fearful. And you know what I'm talking about. There are times when you're afraid. There are times when I'm afraid. And we say, well, we preach God is sovereign. We're preaching God is in control of this. But there are times that we're afraid. Fearful. Ezra was fearful of the journey. That's why he proclaimed the fast. But here's the strength of every child of God. And this is the strength. This is the strength. Every child of God who is carrying this treasure through this life. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Here is the strength. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, when I am weak, I mean, when I'm weak, I'm truly weak in self, truly weak in our vessels. When we are weak, then in Christ, in Him, in His vessel, in His body, in His ability, are we strong. We're strong. In our moments of weakness, if we will do what Ezra did, and I want to learn this, If we will do what Ezra did, we will be strong. What did Ezra do? Chapter 8, verse 21. He said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there." Fasting is denying yourself. That's what fasting is. Denying yourself. He said, "I denied my will. I denied my way. I denied my ability. I completely denied my own ability. I denied the arm of the flesh in every way, shape, and form. And I cried out to my God in all my helplessness. I cried out to my God." Verse 21, he said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves, lower ourselves, humble ourselves, bow before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." Ezra said, "I denied everything in me, of me, by me, and I cried, Lord, show me your will. Show me your way. Show me the right way." What is the right way? Christ. Show us Christ. Show us Christ. In that moment of weakness, show us Christ. Show us what He's done for us. Show us how He cares for us. Show us our provision in Him. Ezra said, "I entreated Him." And in verse 23, he said, "We fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us." If we need to see the right way for us, for our little ones, and for our substance, the way that will carry us home, the way that will get us there, if we need some comfort for the journey, then let's right now forget every thought and every rationalization and every reliance on the arm of the flesh. Let's right now forget every thought. That's the first thing this flesh does. How can I fix it? How can I get us out of this? Let's right now forget every thought, every rationalization, every reliance on the arm of the flesh, and let's entreat the Lord. Entreat the Lord's Word, and let's see what He has to say to us. Look with me at Matthew 6. This is what the Lord has to say to us. Verse 24, he said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? "What you shall eat." Here's what he said. "Lord, what's the right way for us? What would you have us to do?" He said, "Don't even think about what you're going to eat. That's the right way for you. What you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on." He goes on down to say, just look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look at the grass. Verse 33. "Lord, show us the right way." What's the right way? What do we need to do right now? Verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I don't see how my way is going to be a prosperous way. We're carrying all this gold and silver. We've got this treasure, and there's thieves and robbers. He said, you just seek the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. That means keep your eyes on Christ and He'll take care of everything. I just don't see how I'm going to provide for myself and provide for my little ones. He said, take no thought for it. Well, don't you think we ought to have a backup plan just in case? He said, take no thought for it. Look to Christ. You trust Christ. You keep your eyes on Christ. Deny yourself. Deny your thoughts. Deny your way. Deny your ability. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Keep your eyes on His righteousness. And everything you need will be provided for you. Everything. Turn over to Proverbs 3. Lord, show us the right way for us. What's the right way? Here it is. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everything you got in there. Don't put any trust, don't save any trust for anybody else or anything else. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I know you think this other way would be better. Forget that. Don't take thought for that. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Look at Psalm 37. Lord, which way should we go? What should we do? What's the look at Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Blessed. What that means is, though he fall, even that fall will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In Christ, never will we be cast down. Never will we be cast away. David said, on the authority of the Word of God and on behalf of every soul that has been made righteous in the person of Christ, he said, you will not be forsaken and you will never be begging bread. His ways are not our ways. What's the right way? Lord, what's the right way? His ways are not our ways. We cannot always understand the path that He leads us in, but we know it's a path of righteousness. He is leading us, and it's a path of righteousness. It's a path of deliverance. It's a path of salvation, and it's a path of goodness. He only leads in paths of goodness. Always. We'll close with this. Go to Psalm 27, where we read a moment ago. This is the same prayer Ezra prayed. Same words, different man. This is that fasting. This is that self-affliction, seeking Him, His right way. Verse 11, teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll take care of everything. Everything. He'll deliver you safely all the way home, all the way there. Cast all your care on Him. He careth for you. Ezra heard that and he said, time to go, fellas. Let's go. Keep your eyes on Christ and He'll direct you in His good and right way. All right, let's all stand together.